Good morning. My name is Graham. I am one of the pastors here at Westland Alliance Church. And if you were here at launch, you heard Jude, who's been an apprentice speaker here for the last year or so, who you may not recognize. He's lost a person in weight. But he described the staff that we're going to give the next three messages as having 60 years of experience here at the church. And then last week, you saw us celebrate Mike's 30th. And that was Lyle who gave that message, and Lyle's been here for longer than me, and I'm just coming into my 12th, and so I'm excited to be included in the big three. Kind of feel like the Cleveland Cavaliers or something like that, but to me, it's been a cool thing for us to be part of a church staff that has had longevity, and that is by the grace of God to give us those opportunities to see us grow and develop and change. We get a laugh at some of the pictures that we've had in the past, and I was just talking to Lyle about, remember, back in the day when we shaved our head and cut our mustaches. It's been cool, but the great thing is we've seen God do incredible things over the years. And I could only imagine what it would look like for someone like Pastor Mike or Deb to look 30 years back and go, wow, do you remember when? And in the last 12 years, I remember my first few Sundays, there were kids up here doing the overheads by hand. Things have changed, and it's only been a short amount of time. It feels like yesterday that I was the youth pastor here. Feels like yesterday that Colleen and Corey were my junior high kids, and they have a baby. You see, if you're like me, you start realizing life goes fast, and before you know it, in a blink of an eye, you're just, how did we get here? How did we end up here? And so one of the things we wanted to do as we get into this ministry year is we wanted to talk about who we are as a church and where we are going. And not just that, but how you can be part of that. How there's maybe things that you've been doing intentionally, maybe there's been doing you've been doing things by mistake, that actually align really well with who we want to be as a church. And we want to get you excited about that. We don't want you just to come here and sit in a chair and then leave. We want you to join in the greatness of God with us. God has got an incredible plan for us, an incredible plan for this church, and an incredible plan for this world. And we as a church do not want to not talk about it. We want to get excited about it. We want to come together about it, and we want to be all about doing something about it. And so we came up with the idea of coming up with a vision series, and the idea was to look at the greatness of God as a church, but to look at the three key points: by the lives we live, by the love we show, and by the work we share. And Pastor Mike said the first week, he talked about the lives we live, and what he was talking about was how we need to be people who are taking it very seriously about what it is to get the Word of God in our heads, in our lives, to be discipled clearly by what the Word of God says and what the Holy Spirit is doing in our midst. We don't want to be doing it by flesh. We want to be doing it by our own might and our own power, but we want to be a people. We want to be a church that is all about coming alive by living the lives that God is doing through us and around us and being all about that. And how that was a key component to us making known the greatness of God. And then last week, Lyle spoke about the love that we care for one another with, and we share with one another, and he was talking about groups, he was talking about life groups, and how we as a church can come around, and we can show that love to each other, but also we have this responsibility to show the love to others, and hopefully as people see us being a community that is uniquely different, they would be drawn in to ask questions, they'd be drawn in to go, oh, you're strange, why are you strange? And we'd be excited because we don't do it on our own, but we do it because God is doing a good work through our lives to show that love, to have the opportunity to impact and have that conversation. And today we're going to talk about the work that we share, and it doesn't mean you put work boots on and you come ready to get dirty and sweaty, and that might be it sometimes. If you've worked with me long enough, I'm sure there's been times I've made you get dirty and sweaty and move things. This is not church. Sometimes it is. But when we talk about the work that we share, we're talking about the work of the gospel, which what it is us getting this church and our reputation of who Jesus Christ is out of our walls, into our neighborhoods, into our community. So we don't just hold on to this incredible secret and we don't share it. Instead, it's something that is bubbling out of us. But we're also going to talk about this. We don't want to become too bubbly. We don't want to become awkward with that. We want to become wise with how we show the incredible gospel message of Jesus Christ with the way we live our lives, not overstepping our bounds, but praying and seeking for the Holy Spirit to show us that direction. And so today we're going to look at a couple of passages that we as a church kind of buy into, and we want you to buy into, and want you to be all about it. Because one of the things which is going to be funny, and might get in trouble later, but I do that sometimes. This vision series that we've been doing has actually been incredibly helpful for me after 12 years of being on staff. Because it's not something we necessarily talk about all the time, and we say it, and we have these taglines and stuff, but I've had to really pour into thinking about how am I living this out myself? Because the problem with being the person who comes up here once in a while is you have to really think through what you're saying, because you got to be able to back it up with the way you live it. And it's been incredibly helpful for me, because what we're going to talk about is intentionality later. As I've had to pray and think and mull this stuff over and ask God what he's showing me, I've actually seen different ways of being intentional with my prayer life. I've seen different ways that God's been doing things despite what I saw happening before. Because one of the things we'll notice is the more we put something in front of us, the more we think about it, the more it just comes to life. I bought a minivan. It's a second minivan. That's another story. But it's a minivan, and it's a Montana. I'm not promoting any cars. I like my van. That's not. I don't want no sales pitch, but if you want to give me a deal, we could talk later. But here's the thing. So I buy this van, and to be honest with you, I'd never really noticed a van like it before. And you've seen this, right? Because you did it. You all bought, maybe you haven't all bought a car, one day you will. But you buy a car, and suddenly you're driving going, this is a great car. Minivan. Woo! I like to call it a truck. It has a hitch. It pulls things. Go with whatever you can. But what I started noticing was, as I was driving this car, I'm like, why is my car everywhere that I look? I never noticed it before, but now that I'm driving it, I'm starting to notice things. I'm starting to notice that I see that van everywhere. That's the same thing with our intentionality towards sharing the work of Christ. When we start thinking about what it is to get the word in, we start praying about what it is to get the word out, and that's something that we're continually doing, and it's part of our life, and we're driving that every day. We're going through that motion every day. We start to see things that we never saw before. Because it is through that that the Holy Spirit, through the lives we live, starts illuminating things to us. We're like, oh, here is an opportunity. Here's a conversation. Here is a chance for me to serve and to love like I never saw before. And a lot of the time when I'm talking to people, it's not a question of them not having the time. We've all got time. It's not a question of not necessarily having the opportunities. We don't think about it intentionally. So what we're going to talk about today is how do we get into that mindset with the time and the energies and all those things. It's a Mateo series. You can listen to it online. It's a great series. So that we as a church can be all about making known the greatness of God in London and around the world. I want to talk today about the work that we share. And there's a couple of things that I want to emphasize, and you may be like, this might be old news. And if it is old news, I'd encourage you, like I had to really think through it through fresh eyes. And if you are brand new, let me just say, I'm excited you're here, because you kind of get to kind of, this is what they're all about. And so I'm glad you're here for this as well. But there's this passage in Scripture, and if you're not familiar with it, it's pretty much Jesus' last words to his 11 apostles. And it's happening in an incredible moment where it's the series of the cross and the resurrection has happened, and they're just kind of spinning, and Jesus kind of gives them these last words. We call it the Great Commission. And I said commission like that, because it's co, it's together, mission. In Matthew 28, 18 to 20, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. See, one of the things that I've had to really come to terms with being a pastor for the last 15 years and 12 years here is that we are kind of still like a business. Don't freak out. I'm not trying to label us as a business. But we have a mandate and we have a business that we are all about, and the business we're in is making disciples. We don't necessarily make a big paycheck for that. We don't necessarily get billboards and all this marketing shares and all that. That's not what the business is about. But we are intentional about realizing that we are called to do something by Jesus. He didn't just say, well, just sit there and talk to each other and just be 11 for the rest of your life. He said, go and make disciples. It's not a commandment that we can ignore. It's something we could say, well, I'll do that later on. It's something that would be nice for other people to do. I'll leave that to the professionals. It's something that we all as people are called to. We are in the business of making disciples. And here's the thing. This is like a family business. This is like the family business of all family businesses. We've been called to make disciples, and we get that same calling that the 11 apostles get, and we inherit that same calling here because we want to be all about following Christ and his instructions with the way we live our life. And there's a ton of self-help books that you can read. There's a ton of opportunities you can look at all over that will tell you how to live your life better. But we believe as Christians, as people who follow Christ, that Christ is who we want to live or model our life for. So when we are all about making disciples because he told us to do that, we have to take that seriously. Let me tell you about this. All right. You guys ever had a really bad customer service experience? You all have, right? You might have been on the phone for hours trying to figure out some kind of internet phone. We're not going to go down that road. Some of you already got a nervous twitch as soon as I mentioned it. Some of you maybe have been in restaurants and the server has been like, I don't know if I want them handling my food. Have you ever get a look inside the kitchen? You're like, whoa. Or maybe you were at a hotel and they didn't have the room that you ordered. Or maybe you ordered a car and it was supposed to be big and it came small. And they're just like, well, that's what we got. I'm sorry, the cars went. Well, I ordered one. Well, I'm sorry, that's all we've got. You're like, what's the point of ordering one? I have a reservation. Well, I'm sorry, the plane is over full. I have a reservation. And you're like, how do you stay in business with this kind of customer service? That's one side. And you kind of look at the employee and you kind of look at their manager if you ever get that far and you go, I don't think you understand the business that you're in. Because as your customer, I don't want to work with you anymore. Ever. I will cancel things. I will move houses. I will do whatever it takes. I will get bunny ears if it takes that much to get away from what you are giving me right now. Well, then you have these other moments where you come across someone in the business and they make your life a joy. And it's shocking. I've had my oil changed once and the people were like, can I get you a coffee? I'm like, oh, no, seriously, can I get you a coffee? I'm like, sure, milk and sugar. Can I get you a newspaper? Absolutely. Mr. Buchanan, let me tell you, we value your service. I'm like, I value you valuing me. When you go into places where they're all out, you know, they're looking for a commission, you know they're trying to get you into another model because it's going to get them more money. And then you have that one person who goes, okay, I'll tell you what, for what you're telling me your needs are, you don't need to go that high. You should just stick right here and save your money. I'm like, I like you. And you were showing me that you like me. Thank you. When I fly on certain airlines, there's a moment where I go, you actually want me to fly with you. And you're happy about it. That is the kind of customer service that we want to be giving off. But sometimes what it takes is this. That employee who gives you great customer service understands what business they're in. They don't guess. They don't try and figure it out. If you're in a position where you're serving people, you have to serve the people the way they want to be served. That's customer service. One of the things that we need to do as a church is we need to make sure that we are actually providing the best customer service ever with people that we just come in contact with. So when they come in contact with us, they don't think that we have an agenda. They don't think that we are just out for our own. They don't think that we have so many rules that they don't fit. They don't think that they're not welcome. We are trying to do our best. So when people come into contact with us, when people come to experience what the great commission of Jesus Christ is, they have not been turned off. They've been drawn in by the love, by the care, by the service, by the incredible desire to make their life better. So when I ask you, when you look at your neighbors, do you pray about making their life better? When you're in school and you're a student and you're in high school or college, university, whatever it is, and you're looking at the classmates that you're in, you know, projects with, are you praying that your life will make their life better? Sometimes I don't know if we are. And I think that when the apostles were going into this great commission, I think Jesus was calling them to think through things a little differently. Make people fall in love with how much you love Jesus Christ. The other thing which I wanted to get onto was, how do we go about this work? And I talked about the word intentionality. And there's one person in the scripture who I just think had intentionality written all over it. And to be honest with you, I don't know if I would have gotten along with him, because he would have been so intentional, he would have almost driven me nuts. And I think he actually is the first, he's the first person you would describe as a coach in anything I've ever read. And this is Paul. Paul is someone who is coaching churches and directing churches and guiding churches and praying with churches to get on with what it is to make known the greatness of God, to show the gospel of Jesus Christ with live your life and not get distracted by all those things. And the reason why I think I would have been driven nuts by him is because he did not cease, and I'm lazy. He did not stop, and I kind of like stopping every now and again. He was all about things, and I am struggling all the time about my own wants and my own desires and stuff. And Paul would have, I think, been in my face. He might have had to stand on a stool, but he would have been in my face saying, do not waste this opportunity. Do not waste the position you have. Do not waste this momentum that your church is seeing. Do not waste this season. And I would have wanted to take some time and relax. And he would have said, why are you relaxing? This is the time that you've been primed for. Why are you not praying more? And I would say, but I prayed yesterday and I prayed a little today. Pray more. And he would keep my focus back on my mission, my focus, my desires back on my mission and not getting distracted by all the things that the world gives me. My phone distracts me. My television distracts me. Sometimes I love my children, but they distract me. And life is a distraction away from the mission that we've been called and we've inherited from Jesus Christ. And so one of the things that we need to be is we need to be thinking how to be intentional. And the other word with that is serious. In 1 Corinthians 9, Paul says this, I've come to do all things to all people that by all means I might save some. I do it all for the sake of the gospel that I may share with them its blessing. There's a word there that just scares me, because if you think about it, and you think about it, how much it encompasses, it's like, wah. And it's not, you're not going to think about, like, you have to think, pray. All, like, not some, not just on some days, not just when I'm serving in a group, not just when I'm in my life group or my community group or I'm doing this service thing. It's this all-encompassing, my life is all in, all the time. You saw our president jump around the stage a few years ago, talk about that same concept. We are all into this movement. We're all into this thing that Jesus Christ is doing something that we don't want to wait on. We want to be all about moving towards something every day, all day. And I go, ooh, that's exhausting. But then Paul brings it back to us and goes, but isn't it worth that? Isn't those moments where you can see someone won for Christ? Isn't that moment where you can serve someone for Christ? Isn't that moment where you can pray for someone for Christ, make all of that effort worth it? And part of me inside was like, Paul, it's exhausting. He goes, yes, I know. I'm living that out, and I'm writing it out, and I'm telling you, that's what it's going to take to see this world changed. Paul is one of those people that changed the world because he pushed the barriers that the 11 apostles weren't willing to do. And he's the one that spread the news beyond where the 11 apostles never even dreamt of. And he went tirelessly into communities, tirelessly into cities, and he preached the word. Now let me say a couple things about that. Paul didn't stay very long in many places. Paul didn't camp out for 25 years, 30 years, and just set up shop. The most he stayed, and from what we get from Scripture, is 2 years in Ephesus. And the reason why I think it's important to say that is because there's something about Paul's teaching that is so abrasive that I don't know if people would want to be around him for more than his message. I think that the fact that he was a traveling preacher actually was where his gifting and his opportunities really lined up. And living in community, I don't know what kind of neighbor he would be with me. I'd end up cutting his grass all the time. He would never be around. But I think that when we look at Paul, we're seeing not just that it's a style and it's an approach, but there's an urgency and a necessity and a seriousness about the gospel. And that is the seriousness and necessity and intentionality that we need to start taking hold of. And I believe that Paul today, like he said in this passage, he does whatever he can to whatever he can, however he can, to get the gospel in so that it makes sense and so it penetrates and it goes deep. I think Paul would say that same thing to us. You may need to take some time, and it might take you years before you ever get a chance to mention the name of Jesus. But you have an incredible opportunity to serve in your community and to love people, not with your agenda, but because you've been called to love people. You've been called to serve, not necessarily with an agenda, but because you've been called to serve. Because when we know is we know that it's not through our works and not through our words that people are going to come to know Jesus. It's through the work of the Holy Spirit. And so what we need to do is instead of trying to be the voice of the truth, we need to sometimes just be the instrument of how the Holy Spirit will work through us and will time things and will prepare things and will do incredible things that we could not have even imagined on our own. Because I don't want to get in the way of what the Holy Spirit has planned. And it's through my human flesh and through my failures that I do. And so my question to you is, if you look at someone like Paul, where he's setting you up and he's saying, how are you being intentional about doing whatever you can to make people know who Jesus is by the way you serve them, by the way you love them, by the way you speak words to them? It changes the way we look at all of the things that we're involved in, all of the things that we are all about. And making known the greatness of God encompasses everything you are in business, in your home, in your neighbors, in your kids, in your time off. In all of those moments, Paul says, always be about representing Jesus. The one thing I think Paul would have preached to people if he stuck around a little longer is that patience is desperately required. Because as soon as we start trying to push people beyond where they're at, we take hold of things that we never should take hold of. People have asked me a number of things as I moved out of youth ministry and came into a community connections role. Why do we do what we do? And I've had to ask that question a number of times. Because this is all new for us and new for me, and we're kind of on this journey together. And I wanted to just take a second, and I don't have anything written out because this is not the official confirmed way, but this is how my brain works. So welcome. People will say to me things like, you do this egg hunt, why don't you share Jesus at the egg hunt? Fantastic question. Let me walk you through what we do. Imagine there is a funnel. And at the top of the funnel, we want to have an opportunity as a church to go out into our church and serve and love and care for as many people as possible. That is the widest that the funnel goes. And to me, that's where the egg hunt fits. And I'll tell you why. It's really hard to combine chocolate and Jesus. It just is. And it's really hard to get kids to stop eating chocolate or to wait for chocolate and to listen about Jesus. It just doesn't work. And so what we decided to do is we were going to make the Easter egg hunt as wide as we go. And we used to do it on the backfield, and we used to get 350, 400 people, and we thought, man, that's great, but we kind of think we can get up a little higher. And so we said, we're going to go to TD Waterhouse, and we just want to have as many opportunities to serve and to love the community and get our name out as possible so that people don't wonder where we are or who we are, but people start to recognize we're a church, and we care about you, and we care about your family. We want to love you. There's no strings attached. There's no little stuffed in the eggs, little gospel message. If you eat this chocolate, Jesus loves you. We just want to serve. And let me tell you, this church is an incredible serving church. And so the other thing with that is we get you guys out there and serving and rubbing shoulders, and people just go, huh, they're not freaks. They're not as strange as I thought they would be. I really like that. And it draws them in to not thinking that we're completely nuts. And what we do is we do that, and so as soon as we get off our property, and people were upset with me about the fact that we were moving off our property, and I said, we are doing whatever we can so we can have more people come and attend our stuff, so more people get to know who we are, so more people have an opportunity to hear who we are, so more people get to connect with you guys, so more people start going, oh, Westland Alliance Church. Huh, not so scary. So when we had the Easter egg hunt at TD Waterhouse, and you've seen the pictures, we were prepared for 1,000. And we had 4,000. We do it because, as silly as it is, us serving the community in that way was one of the best things that some of those families had all year. I had a mother come up to me the other day and say, are you the pastor at Westland Alliance Church? And I go, I'm one of them. Are you the one who did the egg hunt? And I go, yes, that was me. And I was like, I'm waiting because we ran out of eggs, ran out of coffee, ran out of everything. I'm going, this is, because you get the customer service good and sometimes you just are bad at it. And she said, that was incredible. Can you do more of that? Yes. Yes, we can. Another friend of mine who is a guy I coach basketball with at Banting, I've been coaching basketball there for, this is my 12th year. I was trying to quit, and then I got pulled back in. He comes to me the other day and goes, I was talking to some people, teachers in the school the other day, and my wife, and they just said, we just love the fact that over the last few years, your church has just been coming out and serving the community. Really? Cool. That's a win. I know that we're not sharing Jesus intentionally with words, but people are being drawn in, and they're seeing the intentionality of our church going out of our walls and caring for people. That's why we do what we do at the Easter egg hunt. And then it kind of starts leaning in here. And people, as they feel comfortable, and if the timing works, they're more than welcome to join us with the rest. And it goes from there to rocking. Rocking. And we do crazy things. And it's a lot of fun, but they hear about who Jesus is and how he's the main reason for the season. And then we do things like camp, and we invite all these kids into a camp relationship where they hear the gospel. We serve them, we love them. We try and have the best counselors and the best experience for these kids. And these people come out because their kids are loved. We want them to feel loved. And so it gets a little closer. And at the same time, then we're starting our midweek program. Why? Because we want to do more life with them. We want to tell them more about Jesus. We want to tell them more about life and how it's an incredible thing. We want the greatness of God to be overflowing in all these areas. And then there's incredible youth ministries that they can get part of. And my favorite thing is what I see on, I say this all the time when I'm up here. I just love the seniors ministry because if you're here at the wrong time, you can get run over with them doing laps. And it's us going, well, we just want to be a place that people come. There's a lady who works at the food bank and with us, and her mom comes to the seniors. She's just like, that is an incredible ministry you've got going at your church. Thank you for running. I go, I don't run it. They kind of just run. And that's why we do what we do. And then hopefully along here, there's one-on-one connections through some of you guys, and through that, there's some opportunities to share more and more and more. And maybe they come to church, and we're just like, fantastic. We love having you here. And then hopefully they get somehow plugged into something like a newcomer's lunch, maybe a life group and community groups. There's all these things. We want them. And there's a funnel. There's a strategy. And I'll tell you why. Most of you have experienced a first date. And on the first date, you don't say in your first line, so you want to get married? What do you think about kids? What are your thoughts? Because in any relationship, there is a funnel. There's a funnel of trust, a funnel of love, a funnel of understanding. And when you ever hear people who come back from a first date, like, I love him. I love her. If you've been in a relationship, you go, no, you don't. You're just a little confused. Go talk to someone. So we try and create a funnel of intentional love and care and service so that we can make known the greatness of God at the appropriate level, at the appropriate time, so that people are not scared away. They might just come to the egg hunt for years and never step foot into anything. And that's okay, because we are not in charge of the next steps. That is the Holy Spirit. That's okay. We've just been called to serve and to love. But then there's some steps of boldness when the Holy Spirit prompts that we need to be prepared to do. So people ask, why are there 70,000 eggs in the attic up here? Why is it that the day after the egg hunt on Easter Tuesday or whatever it was, I bought out every Walmart in sight? Why is it that I get strange looks when we are rolling out of Costco with more chocolate than you should ever think of consuming? Why is it that seniors run around like little teenagers having a great time making more noise than the youth group ever did in the fireside room? Why is it that youth ministry stays up all night and does crazy things, a lot of fun, but then they have these great retreats and stuff, and you're just like, I'm just glad I'm not Dave sometimes because I'm getting too old for this? And why is it that we have camps that are strategic about trying to bring in as many kids as possible to hear the gospel so that we can serve them and care for them? We do anything we can in all shapes and forms so people come in contact with the church to experience who Jesus Christ is. And if we have a chance to win them, like Paul says, we just have an opportunity to share in the blessing of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that is something that is an incredible privilege and motivates us every day to think about how to do it better. Every day. Wanted to talk a little bit about what to do. I want to do some practical stuff. I have no idea when I started, but I'm going to try and do this. We have a video. Mario, am I way over? This is the informal part of my youth ministry days. I'm okay. Good. So I have a video of four people who are doing something unique and different in our church community. And I just want you to listen to this. I'm going to give you some other practical stuff right after, but how we can start doing some of these things. If you're just stuck, you want that next step, we're going to do that next. Okay, so here's a video about some four people who are doing something.
Make known the greatness of our God.
Hi, my name is Ray Majorin. I've been attending Westland Alliance Church for a number of years. One of the things that God has really put on my heart is to just be more intentional when it comes to sharing his work in the gospel. And as such, I've written a book, and it's actually based on a series called The Last Lecture. And the idea is this: if you had one last chance to say something to your friends, to your family, what would you say? So I wrote this book. I called it Dear Friends, Family, Neighbors, World. I was a little bit nervous as to giving the book out to different members of my family that didn't know the Lord. But I've just been blown away just by how God has used it. An example, I gave the book to my dad, and it's just really been a catalyst for conversation. Over the last few months, he's actually come to know the Lord, and he's attending church on a regular basis, which is just amazing. So one of the things that God's taught me is that if we're intentional and if we're obedient to what he's called us to do, then he will be faithful to complete the work that he started in us.
Hi, my name's James, and my wife Kathy and I joined West London Alliance with an excitement of being part of the community focus of reaching our neighbors. We have actually joined a community group, and this group allows us a time to come together and share and pray of some of the practical things and opportunities we see within our neighborhoods. One of those opportunities that came up recently was actually facilitating my neighbor's funeral for his mother. They didn't have anyone around them that could actually facilitate one, and when they knew that I was a pastor and our conversations that we had earlier in the front yard just naturally opened up that opportunity to come alongside them at a time of need and crisis and encourage them with the love of Jesus. And so we enjoy the work we share together as this community group and look forward to many more opportunities that the Lord will provide as we serve our neighbors in the name of Jesus.
Hi, I'm Marcel, and this is Kelly, and we've been attending West London Alliance Church for the last 4 years, and we're looking forward to moving overseas with Mission Aviation Fellowship to Angola.
We felt called to take the work we share, to make known the greatness of God overseas, and it's been a process and a big step of faith, but we felt that that was one way that we could work and live our lives to help people who are living in poverty and isolation.
Hey, my name is Roger Garnatus. My wife and I, Barbara, have been at the church for about 20 years. And we've been fed deeply by this church in terms of being life group leaders and participants in life group. Barbara and I really feel that we need to take these lessons that we've learned in terms of life group, the spiritual component, the serving component, the loving component, and translate that to our neighbors. And how does that look for us? Barbara and I have started to reach out to our neighbors to have them over for meals, to be really intentional about connecting with them on the street, and just getting to know our neighbors deeply in a passionate way that exhibits Christ to them. So where does it take us? I don't know where the journey will end, but we're certainly interested in moving ahead with this as the work we share in Christ.
I should say a few things about the video first. I've always had a tech team because I'm not the techiest person. So that was me editing or filming it. And that's why everything is different in every one. So I should apologize before because Roger's face kind of blends into the brick. And James was in a coffee shop with me. And there was some background noise that we didn't even know was going to happen. So there you go. The great thing about this is we get this from Paul's message to us as well, is that everyone's going to have a different approach and a different opportunity, and so we shouldn't try and do a one-size-fits-all thing. So that's important for us to look at, too, when we look at what it is for us to do about making known the greatness of God through the work that we share. Here's a few pointers that I just think are really, really important, and if you're not doing it, I encourage you to think about it. If you are doing it, I'm just reminding you. Let's get serious about learning more about the greatness of God. Let's not become passive with that. Let's not let our only time where we're learning be on a Sunday morning. Let's not our only time to be learning what our small group leader teaches us. Let's really start thinking through those things, whether it's listening to podcasts and the podcasts from services are now available online. And if you've missed a Sunday, don't be someone who's like, I didn't hear it. Listen to it. Be serious about taking in as much as you can so that you are prepared with the tools that come out of Scripture and the equipping that comes out of Scripture so you can be part of the work, not on your own flesh, but through what God is doing through you. I just encourage you to really get serious about that. Don't be passive. The other thing is to get serious about praying about the work ahead of you. Don't just get caught up in doing. I think a lot of people just go, oh, let's just do work. It's not about just doing work. It's about a prayerful approach to things. Because if we aren't praying and we aren't being prompted the right way, we're likely going to do more damage than good. And don't be someone who's so random, and there's all these books now that are all about when hurting the wrong way actually hurts the environment, actually hurts the people who are in need. And so if you are not sure how to get involved properly and you just see a need and you're not sure what to do with that, I encourage you to come talk to me or come talk to someone on staff, and we can kind of help you guide through what some steps are, because we don't need people who are just parachuting into needs. We need people who are in a position where they feel God's calling them to help walk through those things with those people. And so let's make sure we're being really wise with our prayers towards that. I'd encourage you to be having a little list. This has been helping me the last little while. Just have a little list that you kind of go through every day about who you're intentionally praying for. What mission are you intentionally praying for? What work is it that you're just intentionally praying for that you don't get in the middle and mess it up, but that you just follow along with what the Holy Spirit's guiding you to do? Like I said, with these guys, I think that, you know, what you see, and I hear this all the time now that I'm in this job, which is great, is find a way to work the gospel of Christ into your life. And it could be that you are already doing something that no one is uniquely gifted to do than you are. And I'll give you an example. On Thursday nights, if you're here at the church and you've been here, I apologize, because the gym, which we've transformed, is been transformed quite a bit over on Thursday nights. I have a bunch of community guys coming in, some of them who I've coached before and some of them I just met over the last little while, and it's a very, it can't be very sensitive with things like language, and it's a unique environment on Thursday nights. But here's what's really cool. I've been coaching, like I said, for 12 years and coaching basketball, and some of my players are the ones coming out. And I'm having an opportunity, because I don't do it in the schools. I'm very careful about that. I actually have a chance to share the gospel pretty much every week with one of the guys that comes out in a unique way, shape, or form. But it's taken me 12 years of building credibility. I don't play anymore. But it's taken me 12 years of coaching players to build the credibility. And so, but that's a unique position I have that none of you really have, and that's fine. You saying to me, hey, I want to start a basketball night, I would kind of look at you and go, let's talk about that a little more. But where is there an opportunity that you have that maybe already exists to enter into a gospel relationship? Where is there an opportunity for you to share the gospel, even with the way you love and care for maybe some other people? Ann and I are in a season of, that's my wife, we've got a 4-year-old and a 6-year-old, and we just are trying to love families in that group because that's where we are. And so let's just kind of gather on that. Let's not try and, you know, try and be something where we're not. We are here. So let's try and put into a position where we can serve and love people who are in that unique season of life as well. Maybe you are parents who have kids in soccer or hockey, and you kind of just do like the carpool and drop off. And well, maybe you're missing out on an opportunity to start praying specifically for those things. You hear about people doing missions, and maybe there's opportunity for you to do missions in a different, unique way. And so I just really encourage you to think through that and to pray through that. That'd be great. And I just want to finish with this, and this is things I'm going to give you an onslaught here, and that's fine because you can ask me later if this sparks your attention. Coming up soon in this church, there's a lot of things. There's a lot of things coming up, and that's exciting. Things like rocking around Christmas tree is going to go on a Friday night and a Saturday morning. We're going to double it up. We don't want to get caught like we did at Easter. And we're going to try and be real strategic with that. And hey, great opportunity, because we're going to need twice as many volunteers as we've ever done before. But we're hoping to see twice as many people come in and experience this church and experience what Jesus is at Christmas. So that's something coming up. There is meals needed for after-school programs in the community. If you are a cook and you just want to kind of start loving up some kids who need after-school program stuff, there's some meals, and you can come talk to me, and they are desperate for meals being made in after-school programs up in the Limberlost community. There's breakfast programs in the local schools. Wilford Drury has a breakfast program. They're looking for volunteers. If you're in that area and you're like, you know what, I'd love to do that, come talk to me, because there's needs there. That's a stepping stone. We are still collecting food for the food bank that we operate here in the Northwest region. And if you want to start donating food, it's an easy thing. It's a start. It's a stepping stone towards you doing more. And then here's the cool thing that just came up. The Northwest Resource Center has a food cupboard, and right now they're collecting materials, old sheets, curtains, pillowcases, and they want to convert those into bags so when people come to the Northwest Resource Center for food from their food cupboard, they can have some bags to take stuff home with them. And I know that sounds like, who doesn't have an extra sheet? And so we're going to collect that stuff here, and so I encourage you to check that out and to do that. And there's sheets out on the South Foyer that you can do that. Those are some easy ways that you can just start the process of being intentional with some of your time and your energies and those things. And then maybe there's some learning that you need to do. And so we've got a couple of seminars coming up that I encourage you to check out. One of them is the Sharing Your Faith seminar. It's going to be on November 2nd. And it's just an opportunity for you to learn how to craft and learn how to share your faith appropriately so you aren't awkward on a first date. you kind of know how to be and you're prepared for that. We also have one that's going to be understanding our Muslim neighbor, and we did that last year. And in light of what's going on around the world, I'd encourage you strongly to join us for that one. And that'll be happening on October 25th. In the new year, we're going to do Christianity Explored again. And Christianity Explored is an opportunity for you to invite friends or maybe come out for yourself to learn about how to explain but also understand what Christianity is all about. And then we also do community groups. You heard James talk about that a little bit. And people have asked me a lot, what are community groups? Well, community groups basically are the groups that are trying as hard as they can to do this third part of the vision statement. We're trying to be intentional in encouraging and praying with one another to be all about sharing the work in our communities. And so that's one of the biggest differences as I've looked at it, is we are just kind of leaning as much as we can into that third part of our vision statement about sharing the work and going out and helping and praying with one another to go out there and be as effective as possible. And so if you are interested in starting a community group in your neighborhood, or if you just are primed and you've got great relationships and you'd love people to come alongside and pray with you and encourage you and, you know, talk with you about that, I encourage you. Look at your neighborhood differently and maybe start a community group. Come talk to me. We can figure out what that looks like. We are, as a church, primed for incredible things that God has prepared for us to do. And it is about us getting hold of this whole vision, this mission of intention, that would allow us as a church to be effective and us as individuals to be effective with our lives. And I would encourage you strongly, not just to grab hold of one or two of them, but to think about how as grabbing hold of all three of these statements will make you someone who is making known the greatness of God to your friends, to your neighbors, to those people around the world in a way that God can do incredible things through our church. Let me pray for us. Dear Jesus, we thank you for this morning. We ask, Lord, that you would teach us, you would guide us. And Lord, as we come to go out this week, we pray, Lord, that you would, just prime us to be used by you, to Lord, learn what it is to be people who represent you well in our neighbors' lives, in our colleagues, in our friends at school. Lord, allow us to be great representatives of who you are. I thank you for this church. I thank you for how you've given us this vision. And we ask, Lord, that you would empower us and design us well to accomplish your goal of making known the grace of God to here in London and around the world. We thank you in your Son's holy and precious name. Amen.